U.S. President Joe Biden wants his Russian counterpart Vladimir Putin tried for war crimes following the discovery of mass graves in Ukraine. The chief of the United Nations issuing a desperate warning for nations to help prevent a climate disaster. Philippine inflation goes up in March on the back of high fuel prices. And a group previously backing the presidential bid of Manila Mayor Francisco Isko Moreno Domagosa shifts its allegiance. The Vice President Lenny Robredo will speak with Vice President Robredo's spokesperson, Attorney Barry Gutierrez, and Mayor Moreno's campaign manager Lito Banayo later on in the program. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us today. We begin with this story. More sickening discoveries made in several Ukrainian cities freed from the tight grip of Russian troops. Ukraine's prosecutor general says at least 410 civilian bodies were recovered from areas around Kyiv. 280 of that number were found in Bucha's mass graves. During a visit to Bucha on Monday, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky labeled the killings as genocide. The European Commission says it is ready to send a team of investigators to gather evidence of possible war crimes. U.S. President Joe Biden calling for a war crimes trial against his Russian counterpart, Vladimir Putin.
You may remember I got criticized for calling Putin a war criminal. Well, the truth of the matter is, so what happened to Vuka. This warrants him. He is a war criminal. But we have to gather the information. We have to continue to provide Ukraine with the weapons they need to continue the fight. And we have to gather all the detail so this can be an actual, have a war crime trial. This guy is brutal. And what's happening in Bucha is outrageous. And everyone's seen it.
But Ukraine's foreign ministry warns the horrors coming to light in Bucha are just the tip of Russia's cruelty.
The horrors that we've seen in Bucha are just a tip of the iceberg of all the crimes that have been committed by Russian army in the territory of Ukraine so far. And I can tell you without an exaggeration, but with great sorrow, that the situation in Mariupol is much worse.
Even with mounting evidence of its war crimes, Russia continues to deny its troops killed civilians. Speaking to reporters in New York, Russia's ambassador to the United Nations again called the images from Bucha fake and produced by Ukrainian radicals. He also showed footage which supposedly proves Russia has not committed any atrocities.
4 days after the Russian military left the city of Bucha, there was not a single sign of atrocities. I repeat, not a single reference to it anywhere. The infamous video depicting bodies on the city roads only appeared on April 3rd. It is full of discrepancies and blatant lies. We have factual evidence that proves this point. We intend to present it to Security Council as soon as possible so that the international community is not misled by the false narrative promoted by Kyiv and its Western sponsors.
Meanwhile, authorities in Kramatorsk, the Ukrainian-controlled part of the Donetsk region, urge civilians to evacuate amid an expected attack from Russian forces. Ukraine expects Russia to focus its attack on the region after withdrawing its troops near the capital, Kyiv. Over the weekend, Ukraine regained control of the capital, but its mayor is calling on residents not to return for at least another week. Mayor Vitaly Klitschko warns they're not ruling out the possibility of rocket fire. He also says fighting continues in cities near Kyiv. The West begins to impose new sanctions against Russia as international outrage over the apparent war crimes in Bucha mounts. Germany and France are expelling dozens of Russian diplomats. Germany declared 40 diplomats from Moscow undesirable persons, an act tantamount to expulsion from the country. France followed suit, expelling 35 Russian diplomats. As for the U.S., the White House says new sanctions against Russia will be announced this week. These will include some energy-related measures. U.S. President Joe Biden has called Russian President Vladimir Putin a war criminal for the atrocities against civilians in Bucha. In other news, China tells the Philippines to avoid disturbances that affect the ties of the two countries. In a meeting with Manila's top diplomat Teodoro Loxin Jr. last Sunday, Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi said the two sides should calmly and properly manage their differences, adding that maritime issues should be tackled bilaterally. The seemingly veiled warning comes after Manila filed a diplomatic protest against China following another incident in the Scarborough Shoal last March 2nd, where a Chinese Coast Guard vessel was seen sailing dangerously close to a Philippine ship. The world is on a fast track to a climate disaster, that warning coming from the United Nations as it released its latest report on climate change. According to the UN's climate experts, humanity has less than 3 years to halt the rise in carbon emissions and less than a decade to slash them by nearly half. UN Chief Antonio Guterres also called out world and business leaders for the empty promises they made during the last UN climate conference in Glasgow.
This report of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change is a litany of broken climate promises. It is a file of shame, cataloging the empty pledges that put us firmly on track towards an unlivable world. We are on a pathway to global warming of more than double the 1.5-degree limit agreed in Paris. Some government and business leaders are saying one thing but doing another. Simply put, they are lying. And the results will be catastrophic. This is a climate emergency.
In business, Philippine inflation rose as expected in March on the back of high fuel prices after staying flat at 3% in February. Consumer prices accelerated to 4% last month. Food and non-alcoholic beverages, utilities, and transportation contributed the most to overall inflation. The March print brings the national average to 3.4%. That's well within the Philippine Central Bank's 2-4% target range for 2022. But the bank says that target could be breached given the surging prices of oil globally. They add the Russia-Ukraine war will continue to roil global markets and in turn bring higher oil prices in the Philippines. At least one economist warns Philippine inflation could even rise to as much as 5%.
We haven't seen the end of the oil price fluctuations, and depending on how bad it could get in the Ukraine and the disruption in the oil supply, I think we're in for a much bigger oil price hikes in the next few weeks. If nothing else is done, it could go up as much as 4.5% to even 5%. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the proof that if we don't manage the oil price hikes, it will have a multiplier effect and it will really worsen inflation in the country. Mm-hmm.
The National Economic and Development Authority says it stands ready to support all sectors affected by rising inflation in the Philippines. This entails subsidies for transport workers, farmers, fisherfolk groups, and the poor. The Economic Development Cluster also came out with a list of proposals to fight inflation, such as extending the lower tariffs imposed on pork imports. Socioeconomic Planning Secretary Carl Chua says government also aims to place the entire country in the least strictest COVID alert level to provide Filipinos more opportunities to earn money. The wage board in Metro Manila dismisses a labor group's petition for a 470 peso wage hike. The Trade Union Congress of the Philippines earlier asked for the wage hike as the price of oil and other basic goods increased. But the wage board said an across-the-board wage hike was outside its territory. TUCP has refiled its petition, tweaking it slightly to remove the term across-the-board.
They actually listened to ECOP, the employers group, saying it is without jurisdiction. What we did, although we do not agree with what they have already said, because for us it's misapplication or misinterpretation of the facts of the Metrobank case, kami pa. But then again, what we did this afternoon, we refiled our petition. Para, you know, sabi naman ni Presidente Digong na we are in a state of emergency, at the same time, sinasabi naman ni Bello na kailangan na talagang increase ng NCR.
TUCP has also asked for a 430 peso wage hike in Central Visayas for the minimum wage in the Davao region to be raised to 814. Local motorists not satisfied with this week's oil price rollback. A senator is also slamming the temporary suspension of government's fuel subsidy program due to the COMELEC spending ban. Alvin El Chico reports.
For the second time this year, oil firms are rolling back fuel prices in the Philippines after imported oil prices eased last week in the international market. The price slashed for gasoline will be 2 pesos and 30 centavos per liter, 1.85 for diesel and 1.65 for kerosene. But some motorists are not satisfied.
Niloloko lang tayo ng ano eh, mag-rollback na piso, tapos magdadagdag na 5 piso. Sobra-sobra yung dagdag, dapat bawasan nila yung dagdag.
Wala rin kwenta yung rollback na yan, 70 lang din mangyayari. Dapat eh, ibalik yung dating ano, yung mga halagang 40 lang.
The government is not sure if the downward trend in fuel prices will continue in the next weeks.
In a day, nagtataas baba ang presyo. So hindi natin malaman kung magsusustain siya.
The actual rollback is lower than the estimates of the Energy Department as oil companies cite premium costs and higher fuel additive, which tempered the reduction. Consumer group Laban Consumer says the DOE should call the attention of oil companies that just copy the rollback advisory of the industry's price leader.
How can market premium be the same amount for 30 or so importers and traders? Kopyahan lang hanggang ngayon, nagkokopyahan. Oh. Dapat na mataas pa yung rollback. Ngayon sinabi hindi pwede kasi may in-apply na market premium. Ang dami nilang dahilan, na hindi dapat ipasa sa ating mga consumers.
Taga may premium lahat dahil pare-pareho ng produkto eh, di ba? Homogeneous naman, walang iba. Isa lang yan, kung gasolina yan, gasolina. Kung yung pagkakabili ng isang oil company, may premium din yung susunod.
For the first quarter of 2022, diesel prices have already increased by almost 28 pesos per liter, 18.30 for gasoline, and more than 25 pesos for kerosene. That's why public utility drivers are appealing for the release of the government's fuel subsidy.
Sana bigay na nila yung subsidy. Pandagdag din yun sa ano, tuition ng mga anak ko.
Mula simula yung pandemic, hindi ako nakatanggap eh. Sana mabigyan naman kami ng kahit kunting ayuda.
But the LTFRB says the fuel subsidy is temporarily suspended as it awaits the decision of the COMELEC to exempt the program from the ban on disbursements.
Inassure din natin yung COMELEC na pag pinagbigyan tayong magpatuloy ng distribution, it will not be used for political gains. So currently po, ang LTFRB ay nag-aantay sa desisyon ng COMELEC.
Senator Grace Poe urges the COMELEC to expedite its decision on the LTFRB's request for exemption. The poll body says the decision will be out this week.
Pinag-submit namin ng mga ebidensya ang LTFRB at pinag-submit namin ng tinatawag na position paper or memorandum at yun po ay na-comply na po nila. Ito po ay kasalukuyan ng nag-undergo noong study and therefore Miyerkules po may masasubmit po na recommendation sa NBank. At i-expect nyo po hanggang Thursday ay may announce na po natin yung action ng COMELEC patungkol po sa request po ng LTFRB.
More than 100,000 jeepney and bus drivers have received 6,500 pesos in fuel subsidy, but taxi and delivery riders have yet to obtain help. The list of eligible tricycle drivers in various LGUs has yet to be submitted by the DALG. Alvin Olchico, ABS-CBN News.
We're going to take a break now. Up next, In Focus turns the spotlight on the presidential campaigns of Vice President Lenny Robredo and Manila Mayor Isko Moreno. Stay with Dateline Philippines. You're on ANC. We're back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. U.S. President Joe Biden wants his Russian counterpart Vladimir Putin tried for war crimes following the discovery of mass graves in Ukraine. The chief of the United Nations issuing a desperate warning for nations to help prevent a climate disaster. Philippine inflation goes up in March on the back of high fuel prices. And a group previously backing the presidential bid of Manila Mayor Francisco Isko Moreno Domagoso shifts its allegiance to Vice President Lenny Robredo. Back with more news. Malacañang insists re-electionist Senator Laila De Lima was not denied due process. Acting presidential spokesperson Martin Andenar says De Lima's latest remarks about her detention are only meant to get the sympathy vote of Filipinos. Andenar is reacting to De Lima's statement, thanking Vice President Lenny Robredo and Labor leader Leonie de Guzman for pushing for her immediate release during the COMELEC's recent presidential debate. She added other presidential aspirants were reluctant to defend her due to what she called a culture of fear. De Lima has likewise accused government of striking a deal with convicted felon Jovito Palparan to make accusations against her in a recent live interview. De Lima has been detained for the past 5 years on drug charges. She has recently been acquitted in one of three cases. Senator Coco Pimentel asserts his call for a probe into the Marcos family's 203 billion peso estate tax debt is not politically motivated. That's in response to Senator Aimee Marcos, who says people are only going after them now because her brother, presidential candidate Ferdinand Marcos Jr., is leading in the pre-election surveys. Pimentel says pursuing the probe will ultimately strengthen the Philippines' tax code.
What are the weaknesses in our tax laws, the National Internal Revenue Code? How come the BIR cannot seem to collect such a world record estate tax amount, which the BIR already won in a final decision? The hearing would not be concentrating on the present set of BIR officers. We have to invite also those who held responsibilities at the Bureau in the past. Mm-mm. Tanungin natin sila what has happened to be ready and to have a complete picture during the hearing. The administrator of the estate, administrator or administrators of the estate should also be invited.
Pimentel believes the Marcos family just wants to avoid paying their tax debt.
Ganun yun eh. Mas malaki yung estate eh, kaysa sa estate tax eh. So there is still expectation that we can collect, should be able to collect at least the original 23 billion amount. A person who is willing to pay can always start paying the amount which is uncontested. That is the proof of good faith that you really want to pay. But if you say that I'm willing to pay, pero guluhin ko ang istorya, I will introduce concepts so that we will model the final amount, ibang usapan na po yun, that person is not willing to pay.
A group previously backing the presidential bid of Manila Mayor Isko Moreno Domagoso shifts its allegiance to Vice President Lenny Robredo. The Visayas chapter of Ikaw Muna Pilipinas explains the recent pre-election survey results show the presidential race may be down to just two candidates, that's Robredo and Marcos Jr. The group adds their main focus now is to prevent the late dictator's son from becoming president. As for the national conveners of Ikaw Muna Pilipinas, they say they have yet to decide whether or not to adopt the move of their counterpart in the Visayas. And on In Focus today, we'll get up to speed on the presidential campaigns of Vice President Lenny Robredo and Manila Mayor Francisco Isko Moreno Domagoso. Joining us now, the spokesperson of VP Robredo, Attorney Barry Gutierrez, and Lito Banayo, the campaign manager of Mayor Isko Moreno. Gentlemen, good afternoon to you, and thanks for joining us today. Really appreciate you coming to the show.
Good afternoon, Carmina. Good afternoon, Sir Lito.
All right, I'm going to start off.
Good afternoon, Barry and the staff.
All right. Again, appreciate you coming to the show. I'm going to start off with Lito first. Lito, as you were mounting the campaign, what was your projection? Where are you supposed to be at this point, a little over a month before May 9?
We are running neck to neck with Vice President Lenny Robredo at this point in the campaign. Although, admittedly, the numbers of Ferdinand Marcos Jr. are still on the high side. But it has been going down considerably per our internal surveys.
Mm. And is it going down considerably enough for you to catch up?
Well, 30 days, or actually it's more than 30 days prior to the elections, is a long time in electoral politics. Anything can happen. Now, as shown in previous elections, now, anything can still happen between now and election day. Number two, one would doubt the veracity or the credibility of surveys at this particular time when the environment is very toxic. Because there are so many paid trolls, no? And because of these paid trolls who bash, no? Those who profess their sympathies towards a particular candidate or the other, no? Many people have just refused to respond accurately to the numerators who ask them questions during surveys. So I really would doubt whether in this very toxic environment where there are paid trolls left and right, whether people are expressing the real sentiments about in the surveys.
All right, let me go now to Attorney Barry Gutierrez. Barry, is this where you want the campaign to be a month before the elections?
Well, obviously, we would want to be leading in the surveys, clearly. Every campaign would not want to be in second place at this point. But given where we started and given the fact that from the most recent survey results I have seen, we seem to have gained a lot of ground. And clearly, the campaign has a sustained momentum from the very, very successful ground events and rallies in various parts of the Philippines. I think we're well on our way going into the last 34 days to actually come up with a big finish on May 9th.
Okay, later on we're going to talk more about those rallies, but first I want to go back to Lito Banayo. Lito, your rallies have been a mixture of both thin crowds and thick crowds. What have been the challenges on the campaign trail so far?
What we have been doing are really town hall events. No, there are few rallies. No, what we do is go directly to the people, together with motorcades. No, we do not believe in big rallies where you have basically the same people following you wherever. Aside from the fact that it takes a lot of expense. No, even if we would say that many of these are volunteers. No. So what we do are really go straight to the people, present our platform, present our advocacies, and we're happy with what we're doing rather than have a mammoth rallies, which do not necessarily reflect the sentiments of people on the ground.
Was this the plan originally, or did you have to switch gears midstream into the campaign?
No, from day one, we never had big rallies. We never brought people by the busloads or truckloads to our events. No, these were all very organic, and we prefer it that way. Mm.
And this is organic as well in the mayor's personality.
Yes, the mayor's personality, of course, is important. No, basically we. We do not believe in busing people to big rallies. No, I mean, good optics, but that's just about it. Whether they would translate into numbers come election day is questionable.
And that's exactly what people are concerned about when you talk about your campaign, Attorney Gutierrez. See, despite the huge turnouts in these rallies, people are concerned whether these people will actually translate to actual votes. What do you say to that concern, Barry?
Well, to begin with, we never really wanted big rallies anyway. It's the big rallies that came to us. We don't believe in busing people either. We've never done that. It's the people who have actually shown up wherever the vice president has gone. So the fact that in the last few weeks, the intensity of the people, the of the emotions and the buy-in of the people coming to our rallies and the number of people coming to wherever the vice president has gone, we feel that that will be reflected first in the surveys that'll be coming out soon, and eventually in the actual vote that will be there on May 9. Definitely, when you talk about numbers in rallies by itself, it's not going to be a metric for turnout. But if you look at how these numbers were reached, if you look at the fact that these are people who voluntarily came there, who spent their own money, who spent their own resources. Some people chose to wait for hours before the vice president could arrive. That's a level of investment. That's a level of buy-in into a campaign that I think is unprecedented in any of the political campaigns I have seen. And that will certainly be reflected in the outcome of the May 9 election.
And that is precisely why people are concerned, Attorney Gutierrez, because they're saying these are the very same people who have the resources, who've been going to rally after rally after rally of the vice president, that it's the same. Basically, the echo chamber is just following the VP wherever she
goes. I don't believe that. Because if we were just talking about Metro Manila, then maybe. But you're talking about a number of provinces coming from Northern Luzon, Isabela, down to Southern Luzon, in Bicol, Cavite, Laguna, to the Visayas in Negros and in Iloilo, all the way down to Mindanao in General Santos, Cagayan de Oro, and other places. So this is not a case of 40,000 people flying everywhere. This is a case of people wherever the vice president going, showing their support, coming out to show that support physically, and actually doing much more than just going to rallies. Just several days ago, we had a grand launch of the house-to-house campaign, and you could see ordinary people coordinating with surrogates and celebrity supporters going house-to-house, doing what it takes to actually bring the numbers up. So I don't think that this is a case of just looking at the numbers of people who attend the rallies. This, you have to look at the entire people's campaign in its totality. What have people done? What have people committed themselves to doing? They are still doing in the last 34 days.
I want to go back to Lito Banayo now, the campaign manager of Manila Mayor Isko Moreno. I want to talk about what happened yesterday. The leadership of Ikaw Muna Visayas shifting allegiances, abandoning Mayor Moreno, and pledging their allegiance to Vice President Leni Robredo. How big of a loss is this to the campaign, Lito?
Well, he is one person who came up with a press conference, but now we have reactions from various sectoral groups comprising our volunteers in the Visayas, which state that mention what the nasty word that they said about Mr. Malazarte, but they're saying that they are still with Isko Moreno, and that they're while they belong to the same fraternity, I don't know what fraternity that is, they have not actually met Mr. Malazarte in their activities, no. And they're saying that they know the pulse on the ground. We are focused on mass recruitment, and we are not depending on surveys. No. This is a statement issued yesterday by Dr. Winley De La Fuente and Mr. Edward Ligas of the President Isko Movement, Isulong ang Kapakanan ng Pilipinas, and the Visa, Visayas for Isko Alliance.
But have you met with Mr. Malazarte?
I've never met the guy. I don't really know him at all. No? He announced, I remember, about 2 months ago or a month ago, that they were forming a group of volunteers for Mayor Isko Moreno. But I haven't personally met the guy.
So your take on him pledging allegiance to the VP?
Well, it's a free country, no? We have a multi-party system on account of a confused, vague and confusing 1987 constitution, which allows for a multi-party system. It's not a two-party system that we have, no? So people are free to support whoever they want, no?
But the optics, you were talking about the optics a while ago about VP Robredo's, or at least of any candidates, huge turnouts in rallies. What do you think would the optics be, considering that there is a shift, whether or not you consider it as a big loss to the campaign? There's a shift of allegiances. How should people view this?
We also have groups who originally were with the leading candidate, which is Ferdinand Marcos Jr., shifting to us, no? Shift to ISCO. No?
And what are these groups?
From the Marcos Jr. Group, no? Or supporters, original supporters. No?
What are these groups, Mr. Banayo, if you please?
I don't have the names right now, but I did get that report about 5 days, 6 days ago.
Mm-hmm. And the reason...
I don't have it right on my desk.
And the reason that they gave you for supporting
basically
you instead?
Basically, the $203 billion estate tax, which they said should be collected by government, and which the Marcos family, of whom the administrator of the estate is Ferdinand Marcos Jr., has simply refused to pay on the basis of his sense of entitlement. And they feel that this is a major issue that will impact on the chances or the numbers of Mr. Marcos Jr.
Okay, we're going to go into that more in a bit. But first, I'm going to go back to Attorney Barry Gutierrez. Barry, this is the second turnaround in, 2 weeks? Groups shifting allegiances to Vice President Lenny Robredo. What does she think now of turncoatism, given that she's now benefiting from it?
Well, we have to make a distinction between turncoatism in terms of a politician shifting political parties, which was what she was talking about during the debate, and a shift in a volunteer group deciding to support a different presidential candidate. So I don't think you can equate the two here. But what we will say is that this decision of several groups who formerly were supporting different presidential candidates and have now decided to actually throw their support behind the vice president is again proof positive and part and parcel of the momentum that has been reflected in the activities on the ground, and we believe will soon be reflected in the numbers, both in terms of surveys and in votes on May 9th.
But no matter how you qualify, whether it's political parties or volunteer groups, the fact remains that there's been a shifting of allegiances to favor her. How can this not dilute or at least lead to compromises? I mean, we know that politics is addition, but how can this not lead to compromises in the future?
Let's be clear. There was no negotiation that happened here. The support was actually, the latest actually came as a surprise, although, you know, a pleasant surprise. There was no prior negotiation. There was no dealing here. There was no kaliwaan na nangyari. And we've been very, very clear on that from the start. If support is going to be given to the vice president's presidential run, and it's freely given, meaning there's no strings, walang kapalit, then we will accept it. But she has been very, very clear. Any alliance that should be anchored on a negotiation must be based on common principles, a common value set, a common vision for the country. Anything short of that, and you know, we're not going to accept it. But the fact of the matter is, the recent declarations of support for the VP have been freely given, and they were accepted in the same spirit and in the same vein.
Let me go back to the 203 billion peso estate tax debt of the Marcos family. Mr. Banayo, there was a point during the campaign period of Mayor Moreno earlier on when he said, this is about, you know, two families. Let's move on from this issue. Let's not bring in the whole country here. This is just an issue between two families. And yet here he is now going after the Marcos family for the 203 billion estate tax debt. What shifted there? What led the mayor to embrace this issue and make it a campaign issue?
Well, in the first place, Carmina, it is a legitimate campaign issue. It is an issue of character. It is an issue of someone who feels entitled and who thinks that his family can escape the clutches of the law. Now, we did not invent this issue. This was, in fact, we just picked it up from Justice Tony Carpio's column about the unpaid estate taxes of the Marcos family, no? So it is a very legitimate issue. It is not a campaign tactic, no? It is something that people have to know, because precisely Isko Moreno and Doc Willioong are fighting it out in these elections to present an alternative to warring factions of failed leaders who have led this country to where it is today, despondent and hopeless. No? Mm. This fight is about the people. It's not about the yellows and the reds, the pinks and the whatever color. It is not about hating the faction, one faction or that. It is about giving the ordinary man a break, no, from dynastic and power-hungry politicians. It is about meeting minimum basic needs, no, of every Filipino by someone who has demonstrated his ability, despite the pandemic, to prevail over crisis and achieve what others merely promise. No? So that is what we stand for. No? We are presenting an alternative to two groups who have led this country for the past, what, 3-4 decades. No?
If it is all that you said, then why did he utter those words earlier on in the campaign?
Which words?
That this is not about, that people should move on from the Marcos Aquino issue, that this is not about two families fighting each other.
It's not about two families fighting each other. It's about presenting on an alternative, no? Maiba naman, hindi yung mayat-maya na lang sila, na lang na sila, no? Yun ang position namin, no? It's not about... Kaya nga sinasabi ko, yung 203 billion estate, ano, is not born out of a dislike for the Marcos family or a dislike for Ferdinand Marcos Jr. It's a legitimate issue that came out, no, in the course of the campaign.
When you said maiba naman, there was also a point during the campaign when you were also welcoming an endorsement from President Rodrigo Duterte. When we talk about that endorsement, that hasn't come yet. And if you believe what he said, that he's going to be neutral in this campaign season, that's never going to come. How big of a loss is that to the campaign of the mayor?
You know, as Barry said earlier, politics is addition. No? If President Duterte endorses whoever, then that is an addition to whoever he endorses. No? Given as it is that he has very high popularity ratings up to the present, no? So, syempre, it is an addition. But it is not that it's not such that you anchor your entire campaign on the endorsement of anybody, no? I mean, you just have to continue presenting your advocacies, your platform, and that's it. As against the candidate, for instance, who simply refuses to participate in debates, no? Who simply refuses to, who disdains, for that matter, no, public opinion about what his advocacies or his character or his qualifications are.
Mm. All right. Now, I was talking yesterday, gentlemen, to Professor Julio Tihanki of De La Salle. And this is what he was saying. If you compare what is happening now to what happened in 2016, at this point, during that time, there was some Duterte magic already happening that clearly paved the way for him to win the 2016 elections. Something has got to happen at this point. If we were to prevent, or if the country is to prevent, a Marcos presidency, if that is the goal. So I'm asking you now, is that something that you're looking into? And by something that's earth-shaking, Professor Tihanki was saying, this has got to be by way of consolidation of forces. I'm going to go to Attorney Barry Gutierrez first. Is this something that you are working on behind the scenes? Is this something that you would welcome to prevent the Marcos presidency from happening? And if there were going to be any consolidation, with which campaign, with which HQ? Attorney Gutierrez.
Well, let me put it this way. It's something we are open to, but it is not something that we are currently actively pursuing at the moment. As Sir Lito said earlier, at this point in the campaign, I think every candidate, every camp is focused on doing their own thing, doing what they can to present their candidates, their advocacies, their platforms to the electorate, and focus on that. But you know, 34 days is still a long time. A lot of things can still happen. So the possibility of, you know, possible alliances can still be you know, explored, and it's something that we are open to. But in terms of focus, we are focused on our own campaign. And insofar as a game-changing magical moment is concerned, we think that that's already here. Insofar as Lenny Robredo's campaign is concerned, the fact that the people have themselves have come out in force to campaign for her actively in the way that they have been doing, I think is really the game change that a lot of us have been waiting for.
Mr. Benayo.
I don't think that is in the realm of the possible at this point in time. No? That, for instance, that you have major candidates, I'm talking about the major candidates, bringing themselves together and uniting towards supporting one candidate. One consideration that you have to understand also is, would a candidate who withdraws in favor of another candidate, no, would his numbers or whatever numbers he has transfer to whoever he endorses? No, that is an iffy question. Mm-hmm. Who or where will those votes eventually go to? No? So these are considerations that have to be made. No? And in the case of my candidate, in the case of my principal, paulit-ulit niya sinasabi na isasanla ang kanyang laway. No? So when he says something, he says it and he does it. No? Now, having thrown his gauntlet into the ring, no, wala nang atrasan ito. Tuloy-tuloy na ito. And let us just focus on what we are doing and wait for the verdict of the people come May 9.
Which is more important to your principal right now, Mr. Benayo? Is it that he wins or that a Marcos is prevented from occupying the palace once again?
Well, the 1987 Constitution is very clear. We are under a multi-party system. It is a wrong premise. I mean, it's wrong. As far as I'm concerned, I don't believe in the validity of, confused and confusing setup that was brought about by the 1987 Constitution, where we have a multi-party system and a presidential form of government. But nonetheless, since it's multi-party, let the people decide among various players, among various candidates, sino ang gusto nila, sino ang pinapaniwalaan nila, sino ang nakukursunodahan nila. Mm. No?
All right, and having said that, final question to you both. Let me start off with Attorney Gutierrez. Last 30 days or so on the campaign trail.
34.
34 to be exact. What's going to be the focus from here onwards?
Well, the focus is really going to be really trying to maximize the impact of the people's campaign that has coalesced around VP Lenny. So aside from the big ground events that we have been seeing the past few weeks, we've started doing a more in-depth, community-based, grassroots-led approach, house-to-house campaigns, market runs, and so on and so forth. And I think that will only intensify in these remaining 34 days.
And Mr. Benayo, what's going to be your focus in the last 34 days?
Tuloy-tuloy lang kami, Carmina, sa aming ginagawa. No? We go to different places all over the country and meet various groups, no? Not necessarily political leaders, but the public itself, no? And we have seen the warmth of the public reception to Isko Moreno and Doc Willie also. That is what we intend to continue doing. We present our advocacies and telling people na maiba naman, hindi yung sila na lang na sila, no? Ito na lang mga kulay na ito. Pumili naman tayo ng iba. Yun ang galing sa totoong mahirap at alam ang nararamdaman ng mga mahihirap at may mga solusyon. May mga tunay na solusyon at mabilis ang aksyon na ginagawa. Na na-demonstrate naman ni Isko Moreno in the 3 years that he has been mayor of the City of Manila.
Mr. Lito Banayo there, campaign manager of Mayor Isko Moreno, and Attorney Barry Gutierrez, spokesperson of Vice President Lenny Robredo. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it. Take care and you keep safe.
Thank you, Armina.
We're going to take a break now. Still ahead, a Phil-American hoop star powers the Kansas Jayhawks to the U.S. NCAA basketball title. This is Dateline Philippines. You're on ANC. And we're back. It's been a rainy morning in parts of Metro Manila. Let's get an update on the weather now from ABS-CBN's resident meteorologist Ariel Rojas. Ariel, over to you.
Hi, good afternoon, Carmina. We're currently monitoring a weather disturbance inside the PAR, and this low-pressure area was located at 10 a.m. today, 180 kilometers east-southeast of Inatuan, Surigao del Sur. Pag-asa says this low-pressure area remains less likely to develop into a tropical cyclone and will track westward. Meanwhile, a shear line is also currently affecting Bicol region, and the northeasterly surface wind flow is prevailing over the rest of Luzon. The combined effects of these weather systems are bringing rainy weather over Metro Manila, Central Luzon, Calabarzon, most of Bimaropa, Bicol region, Visayas, and Mindanao. There will be periods of heavy downpours. Residents of these areas need to watch out for flooding and landslides. Meanwhile, light rains are also expected in Cagayan Valley, Apayao, Kalinga, Mountain Province, and Ifugao. The rains will persist and drench most of the country until Friday or the weekend. That's the latest on the weather. This is Ariel Rojas. Back to you, Carmina.
Thanks a lot, Ariel. Take care and keep safe. Moving on to some sports action, the Kansas Jayhawks are this year's U.S. NCAA men's basketball champions. The Jayhawks outlasted the North Carolina Tar Heels 72-69 in the finals, thanks to their Filipino-American guard. Our North America Bureau correspondent Steve Angeles now joins us with details. Steve, over to you.
Yes, Carmina. Remy McCaspuck Martin is now a national championship. The California-born and raised super senior won the national championship as a member of the Kansas Jayhawks in a historic come-from-behind win over the North Carolina Tar Heels in the national championship game. The Jayhawks trailed by as much as 16 points, with Martin held to just 3 points in the first half. However, the Jayhawks came back in the second half, with Martin scoring 11 of his 14 points in the second half, including a three-pointer that gave Kansas its first lead. The 16-point deficit is the largest in NCAA championship game history, and this title gives Kansas its fourth national championship. Also on the Jayhawks staff is another Filipino-American, assistant coach Curtis Townsend, the brother of the NBA's first Phil-Am, Raymond Townsend. Martin is now the third Filipino to win a national championship. Raymond Townsend was actually the first back in 1975. And Remy's best friend, another Southern California Phil-Am, Kihei Clark, won his championship with Virginia in 2019. Despite struggling during the regular season, the former Arizona Sun Devils shined bright during March Madness. He was named the regional tournament's most outstanding player. In his first 4 years of college, Martin, who traces his roots to Pampanga, was a highly decorated guard at Arizona. After the COVID-19 pandemic allowed college players to have an extra year of eligibility, he took his talents to the Hoops powerhouse in Kansas. So next up for Martin, he's most likely going to try his hand at the NBA draft. He has declared in the past only to return to college, and the pandemic did hit his senior year, which derailed some of his plans. So hopefully after this amazing March Madness run, you can turn some heads in the NBA. Carmina?
Thanks a lot, Steve Angeles there. Take care, Steve. Keep safe. And before we go, fans of Korean series Squid Game would have to wait a little longer for season two. See, its creator reveals he has yet to write the script for the second season and that it would likely not be released before late 2024. Squid Game features contestants from marginalized parts of society competing in traditional South Korean children's games for money, with the losers put to death. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on ANC.